So in a moment, Davey's going to come in and speak to us, continuing in our Living a Life of Pure Pleasure series, looking at time and leisure lifestyle. But before he does that, I'm just going to bring the readings. The first one is Psalm 23, and then it's 2 Samuel 11, verses 1 to 4. So reading Psalm 23 from the New Life Translation. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. So reading from 2 Samuel 11, verse 1. In the spring of the year, when kings normally go out to war, David sent Joab and the Israelite army to fight the Ammonites. They destroyed the Ammonite army and laid siege to the city of Rabbah. However, David stayed behind in Jerusalem. Late one afternoon, after his midday rest, David got out of bed and was walking on the roof of the palace. As he looked out over the city, he noticed a woman of unusual beauty taking a bath. He sent someone to find out who she was, and he was told, "She is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite." Then David sent messengers to get her, and when she came to the palace, he slept with her. She had just completed the purification rites after having her menstrual period. Then she returned home. Thanks, Dave.
Great, thanks, Ian. Two fairly seemingly unconnected passages, but hopefully we can make sense of those as we go through. It's a great night tonight, celebration. We have made it to the end of our series on living the transformed life. I don't know whether you've picked up on most of these or some of these, but if you haven't, you might just like to go back to the podcasts and pick up a few, because we've looked at a Christian approach, how to live a life that is full and great, but in a way that pleases God and builds his kingdom. And we've looked at it in relation to some really cracking serious issues. We've looked at drink, we've looked at sex, we've looked at thankfulness, at fulfillment, of gambling, we've looked at pornography, we've looked at money, we've looked at the whole internet world, health. Ian did sleep last week, and tonight it's time to play, it says. Time to play, time and leisure lifestyle. And I'd like to invite you just to put your feet up on the chair in front of you and to just chill a little bit this evening. Anyone who's still awake at the end of this message, there is a special prize for you, because it's going to be a fairly soporific time for all of us as we look at the whole subject of leisure. Leisure. I googled leisure again. I googled health the other day and got some staggering results. Leisure. Any guesses on how many results you get if you google leisure? 415 million results for leisure on Google. It's defined in the Oxford English Dictionary as free time when one is not working or occupied. The sort of words we might use, we might find them in connection with a leisure centre. Leisure time. Holidays, relaxation, spare time, time off, recreation, amusement, entertainment. You know, in time gone by, when our land was a subsistence economy, when we basically worked in the fields and we ate what we grew, leisure on the scale that we know today was completely unheard of. We've come a massive distance until today, when leisure time for all of us is a right. We now are entitled, under law, to statutory holidays. If you're employed, you are entitled to statutory holidays. And blessedly for you young people, it is possible to go to university and do leisure studies. How fantastic. 3 years of sleep and eating and relaxing. Leisure studies. My apologies if you actually did that course. That was a bit tactless. But what we're tackling tonight is how we should be regarding and using leisure in the 21st century, when we seem to have more of it available than at any time before. Or do we? Or do we? You see, some of us may in fact be so busy that we struggle to find time for leisure. I read that experts in America were predicting that by the year 2000, they would all be on a national four-day week and have a superabundance of leisure time. But those projections have been hopelessly inadequate, and the average American now works 47 hours a week. And many of the folk in America are saying, what good does it do me to have a big salary and a big job if I simply never have any time to enjoy it? In the UK, things are slightly different. Average working hours in the UK have been drifting downwards towards about 37.5 hours a week, because people are looking for more and more leisure time. We're more conscious of our work-life balance. And I would guess that we have a spectrum of approaches in this church tonight. For some of you, it'll be like this. My days are so busy. Don't talk to me about leisure. I'm panned out with a heavy job, looking after kids, rushing around, trying to serve in church. I never have a moment for leisure. You may think that. But there will be people in this room tonight, and I can guarantee there are people in the estate just 500 yards from here who say this. My days are lonely and empty, and I have more leisure than I can handle. And somewhere across that big spectrum will be you. Your leisure life is either just about in balance, or you'd be desperate for some time off and a chance to do something relaxing, or else your days are full of leisure time, which you would love to fill in a way that doesn't leave you lonely and purposeless. So how do things work for a Christian? And what does the Bible say? And you know, that's the big, big question. Can I just digress for a moment to say this? You must not let the church tell you how to live. Don't let the church tell you how to live. That's very, very dangerous. The job of a church is to point us to the Word of God. That's why we come here. We come to hear, to encounter the Word of God, a word that sends us away to pray and think through our individual lives, our individual circumstances. It's not a place where people tell us what to do, what to wear, how to spend our time. Because we trust each other to dig into the Word of God and find out what God has in store for each of us. And so I'd like to share with you four big Bible principles that I believe are really relevant to leisure. And here's the first one. It comes from Colossians 3, verse 17. It says this: whatever you do, whatever you do, in word or deed — you can't get any more comprehensive than that — whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That's a principle for the way in which we think about and assess and decide on our leisure time. Can we do this in the name of the Lord Jesus? Will the Lord Jesus be pleased with our spending our time in this way? We'll unpack some of these later. Principle two, some verses from Mark chapter 6, where Jesus says, let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while. And he said this because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and his apostles didn't even have time to eat. Jesus making time to take some break, to take a bit of leisure. As it happened, you probably know the story. They went off to the far side of a lake and their jolly old crowd followed all the way round. And Jesus didn't actually say, "Sorry, folks, my lunch break." Jesus saw the crowd and he had compassion on them and he taught them. Even out of his exhaustion, Jesus still had time for people. But Jesus emphasized that we need to make time for leisure, for relaxation for ourselves. Principle 3. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Listen to these words. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. And the fourth one, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't act thoughtlessly. Think things through. Understand what the Lord wants us to do. And that applies to leisure time as it applies to everything else. So let's have a look at leisure. If you came up very close and had a look at my right wrist, you will see a little scar. Very proud of that scar. It was a day when I was very brave. Because this is the place where a very clever doctor put a camera into me. And he stuck a camera in there and he wiggled it all the way up my arm and over my shoulder and down into my heart to have a little bit of a look around. And he did that because I'd been for a routine blood test and my cholesterol levels were somewhat stratospheric. And so they said, "We better check out that you're going to be still here in a month's time." So I went to Blackpool Victoria and he did this wiggly thing with a camera. And the most amazingly brave thing was that I was there awake watching. And I lay on the bed and he was there fiddling around. And there was a massive bank of cameras and television screens above us. And I could actually see my heart and I could see this wiry thing going woo around. And anyway, the good news was that he said, "No, you're not completely furred up." He just said, "Take care, take care. We'll put you on some bit of medication and some routine blood tests and make sure that we hope you're going to be still here in a year's time." But that was my encounter with cholesterol. And I don't know whether you know the difference between good cholesterol, which is high density lipoprotein. You want to go for the good cholesterol, high density lipoprotein. Don't have anything to do with bad cholesterol, which is low density lipoprotein. Okay, I think that's to do with broccoli or something like that. But anyway, stick with me here, because there is this thing, there's cholesterol, which is fairly neutral, but you can have the bad stuff or you can have the good stuff. Now, how about leisure? How about good leisure and bad leisure? Good leisure. Leisure activities that build us up. Leisure activities that build the kingdom of God. That are part of our resourcing and recreating ourselves to be what God wants us to be. But there's bad leisure. There's selfish use of our time. There's dozing about and getting nothing done. Leisure that ignores the needs of the rest of the world. Good leisure and bad leisure. Let's look at some examples. Ian read us one of them, and that was from 2 Samuel chapter 11, when we read this famous story of King David. In the spring of the year, when kings normally go out to war, David sent Joab and the army out to fight the Ammonites. They always fought the Ammonites. And they destroyed the Ammonite army, and they laid siege to the city of Rabbah. But David stayed behind in Jerusalem. And look at these wonderful words. Late one afternoon, after his midday rest, David got out of bed and was walking on the roof of the palace. Anyone ever had an afternoon like that? We have an afternoon rest, don't we? And then late in the afternoon, we get out of bed and we have for a bit of a walk about in the garden. That's what David was doing. He wasn't leading his army. He wasn't being God's man in charge of the kingdom of Israel. He was actually lazing about. And the predictable thing happened. Because as he walks around on the palace, he's looking down on the city around him. And there is gorgeous Bathsheba having a bath. And David, in his dozy, lazy state, says, "Who's this?" They say, "She's Bathsheba." And they also say, "She's the wife of Uriah the Hittite, one of your most trusted commanders." And David says, "Bring her to me, because I've got nothing else to do this afternoon." And this lovely lady is brought to David, and the rest is history. Bad, bad leisure. Bad leisure that leads David into bad choices. Leads David into the most shameful part of his whole life. If you know the story, you know it gets worse and worse because Bathsheba gets to be pregnant. And David tries to cover it up. And eventually he has no alternative but to arrange for Uriah the Hittite to be killed in battle. Deliberately setting him up to be killed so that he can marry Bathsheba. And all of that came from an afternoon of idleness and bad choices. Bad leisure. And then Luke 12. We didn't read it, but you probably know the story very well of the one that we call the rich fool. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced crops. And he said to himself, "What shall I do? I don't have room for all my crops." And then he said, "I know. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and then I'll have room to store all my wheat and other goods." Not a bad decision up to that point. Okay, I've got more than I can handle. I better build some bigger barns. Fair enough. But then listen to the next words. "And I'll sit back and I'll say to myself, 'My friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. So take it easy. Eat, drink, be merry.' And God says to him, 'You twit.'" All right? "You fool. You've built this great empire up, and all you want to do is laze about and eat and drink and be merry. Was that all it was for?" And God says, "You are a fool, because today is the end of your life and you've worked for nothing." Bad leisure. Bad leisure. I don't know whether some of us approaching or even at retirement are saying to ourselves, "I'm getting to the point where I can actually look at my investments and start to spend some time on me. I don't have to get up and go to work every day. I can take long holidays. I can do what I like." And God says, "Oh, you fool, is that all it's about? Is that all it's worth?" And even if you're younger and working your way through to that glorious day where one day you've retired, God says there's so much still to do. Just a third example. How about Martha and Mary? Luke chapter 10. Jesus has gone to Martha's house for a meal. And Mary is enjoying a bit of leisure time, just listening to Jesus, while her sister Martha is getting all stressed out in the kitchen. And Martha says to Jesus, "Lord, will you tell Mary to come and give me a hand here? I'm just flogging myself to death in the kitchen." And Jesus says to Martha, "Oh, Martha, you are stressed about so many things. Mary's doing something important. She's finding time to listen to me." Good leisure. In the midst of a world of busyness, being able to find time to spend or be with or listen to Jesus is important. Good leisure. If I could just say to the men here, if your wife does say to you, "I could do with some help in the kitchen," the response, "I'm listening to a podcast," will never end well, all right? Always, always go to the kitchen when you call. Jesus is a different person from us. He can do things we can't get away with. But what do we learn from these three stories? Do you know what I think we learn is that our time and how we spend it is really, really important. Paul says in Ephesians, those verses we read, he says, make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. There's such an urgency about Paul. Make the most of every opportunity. Don't be a fool. Be wise in the way we spend our time. The choir, Wednesday night choir, are singing a song at the moment, and I bet anyone in the choir could tell me instantly how many minutes there are in a year. There they are. Shout it out, please. 1, 2, 3. There we are. 525,600 minutes is the number of minutes in a year. And that's a song from the musical Rent. Fascinating, because it actually comes to a very true conclusion. If you're 40, you've so far had 14,600 days, 21,024,000 minutes you've spent, either well or badly. It's about half what you're likely to get. Okay, males, average lifespan, 78. Females, for reasons which I can't credit at all, are 82. All right, I don't know why it is. I think men spend more time in the kitchen. It wears them out. But that's what it is. But if you're 18, don't smile too much. If you're 18, you've used up 9,460,800 minutes of your life, okay? Probably more than half in bed. So don't waste any more, any of us. We use phrases like this, don't we? We say, time flies. And it really does. For parents of young children, lovely phrase I heard recently. If you've got preschool children, the days drag, but the years fly. The days drag, but the years fly. And these long, long, long days of amusing children will very soon get to the day when you tearfully send them into primary school. And then you'll tearfully wave them off to secondary school and ultimately university. The days drag, but the years fly. And for the busy, busy career person who says, I need to spend more time with my family, Rob Parsons from Care for the Family says, the slower day is never coming. Don't just carry on as you are, thinking that one day you'll have a slower day and more time for what you want to do. Because if being a career person and leaving no time in your life for leisure is the way you live, the slower day will never just happen. You've got to make it. Another great sentence I heard recently. You will never find the time for anything. But if you want something enough, you can make the time. You never find the time for anything, but if you want something enough, you can make the time. So how do we spend our time? And this is where our little choir song comes in. It says, how do you measure a year? And we sing these words. Do we sing it in daylights, in sunsets, in midnights, in cups of coffee, in life events and choices? Or do we measure a year in love? Do we measure a year by the amount of love that we give and show to people? And that's bob on what Paul is writing in Ephesians 5. Remember what he said? Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do. Live a life of love, a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. And you know, we need to see our time, that precious gift from God, all 24 hours of it, as a gift from God, and something with which we live for his glory. And that's work time and leisure time. And we're not living for his glory if our leisure time is spent just on ourselves and what we love to do when we relax. I'm going to give you the key thought for this evening. Five words which I believe are original. They are totally copyright, but I'm going to share them with you and give you a license to use them with your friends. Five words. Time is not for tithing. Time is not for tithing. You know, we talk sometimes in church, don't we, about the biblical principle of tithing, of bringing the first and the best part of what we own and what we earn, maybe 10% plus or minus, but giving that first and best part to God. But time isn't like that. Sue spoke last week about the Sabbath and how we use the Sabbath, and we need to set time aside in our lives to grow and listen to Jesus. Sabbath time and the importance of that. But that doesn't mean that we give one day in seven to God and the rest are ours. Tithing doesn't mean that we give one tenth of our time to God and the rest is ours. Our time belongs 100% to God. Our time is held on trust for him, and we need to use it for his glory. Remember those Bible principles that we talked about at the beginning? Whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Ephesians 5, in everything you do, live a life filled with love. Ephesians 5:15, make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. This is 100% stuff. This is everything. This is all our working and all our leisure hours, because time is not for tithing. So let's just ask a few questions about the way we spend our leisure time, without giving you any sort of judgmental teaching on this is right and that's wrong and this is right and that's wrong. Because what I'd love us to do after this is to go away and get on our knees and open our Bibles and say, Lord, what sort of work-life balance do you want to see in my life? What have you got in store for me? Because it all belongs to you. We've got hill walking time, TV time, time alone with God, time just getting away on our own, video game time, knitting, importantly, model plane time, sport time, having coffee with neighbours, reading Hello Magazine, listening to Radio 3, internet time, holidays, travel. They're all choices, aren't they? I wonder if our leisure is an opportunity, or is it just an idol? Is it an opportunity to work for God's kingdom, or is it an idol that we just use for our own gratification? And I guess as I read through that list, you will have mentally been thinking, ooh, not that one. I'm not a Hello Magazine person. I don't quite approve of that. Some of you may have been saying, please don't take me hill walking. I'd absolutely hate that. But how much time do we spend in front of the television? Is the television fairly neutral, or is it good, or is it bad? We take our life and we present it to God and say, Lord, help me as I make my decisions. Is everything we say and do done in the name of Jesus? Is it part of a life filled with love, or is it just for ourselves? Is it just for our pleasure? Do you remember Ecclesiastes? Solomon was a pretty flawed character in many ways, but he wrote about how one day he said, I've tried all sorts of things. Let's just try pleasure. Let's just look for the good things in life. Let's have leisure, leisure, leisure. He also had 1,000 wives and concubines, which must have been pretty shattering in itself. But at the end of it all, he says, do you know, it was meaningless. It was meaningless. And it would be terrible if we got to the end of our lives, wouldn't it? And said, I've had loads and loads and loads of leisure time, but in God's economy, it was pretty meaningless. Hazel and I were on holiday about 4 years ago up in the Shetlands. And we met a doctor, a retired consultant surgeon in the hotel we were staying in. And this was he was a humorless guy. He really was, there with his long-suffering wife. And as we talked to him, we learned loads and loads about him, because he didn't want to ask us anything about us. But one of the things we learned was that he spent round about 4 months a year abroad on one holiday or another. One of these people where whatever country you ever mentioned, he'd been there and done something exciting. And we both thought, what a goon. He really was. Because he'd just been spending his life, in a charitable way, we thought that, you know. But he'd just been spending his life amusing himself. And at the end of it all, surely that is meaningless. And you know, when we're talking about a life filled with love, we need to remember that there are still places in the world where leisure is only a dream. Where kids work from 6 o'clock in the morning to 9 o'clock at night on the streets of Mumbai selling peanuts for tiny amounts. And we've got to be able to say to God, I feel okay about spending money on this holiday, rather than spending £300 on sponsoring a compassion child for a whole year. And if we can look God in the eye and say, Lord, I feel as though I can do that in the name of Jesus. It's part of a life filled with love and 100% given to you. Then great. But if God prods us, we need to be ready to be prodded. Because that verse in Ephesians says, are we making the most of every opportunity? Does our leisure time have a purpose? Does it give us time and space to grow as a Christian? Recreation is recreation. Can we see our leisure time as time itself when we're available to God and working for his kingdom? Are there lonely or sick people who would love to have a walk or a coffee with you? Is there a Christian outreach mission that you could be part of, that you could go on in a year, to go abroad on visa, to go on a summer camp, using your leisure to build the kingdom, making the most of our opportunities? And what about simply meeting people? It was wonderful this morning. Was it Lucy? Came for a blessing with her parents. And they're very new to church. They're very new to church, and they invited over 100 people to come and share in the blessing service this morning. I don't think all of them made it, but isn't it wonderful to think of people landing in our church who know over 100 non-church people? Because one of the things we find as we talk about inviting people to church is that some of us say we've been in church so long, we don't know that many people who don't go to church. We don't know many non-Christians. Oh boy, how about using our leisure time simply to meet people? How can we make links and relationships with the world outside our church? We can do it by joining something. Just join something. Be where people are, because that's where you'll find them. Be where people are, because that's where you'll find them. I find them on Monday nights. And I hate to talk about model planes, but I just really love doing this. Monday nights, as a few of us go flying indoor planes at British Aerospace. We book a sports hall and we go and fly flimsy little things for about an hour and a half, or shorter time if we've broken them all before an hour and a half. And then after that, we go into the bar at the Lightning Club at British Aerospace. And we chat and play snooker until the place closes. And they're a great bunch of mates. And I could drop in for coffee. And they come and see me for coffee. And I go with Roger, who's lost his wife recently, and walk his dog. And I'm not an expert at the inviting game. But it is so dead easy. So let's be bringing these questions to God. And saying, Lord, I want to give all of my life to you because my time is not for tithing. I want to give it all to you. And I want you to show me how to live a life where every deed and word is in the name of Jesus. Where my life is filled with love and a life that makes the most of every opportunity. And we can ask God. Just listen again to Ephesians 5. Paul says, be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. And this is it. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Understand what the Lord wants you to do. Let's be intentional about the way we choose and spend our leisure time. And finally, I'm going to give you a quote from Craig Groeschel from the Life Church. Wonderful podcast if you want to have a listen to some of these. But Craig says this, our values dictate our choices. Our values dictate our choices. And if you value yourself and having a good time, you will make decisions that are aimed at you having a good time. But if you value service, and if you value caring for the lost and the lonely and the broken, and if you value seeing people meeting with Jesus, you will make decisions about your life and your time that allow you to find time for that. You see, Jesus didn't travel the world. Jesus never went to Torremolinos. He's not recorded as spending time relaxing very much or on holiday, because Jesus was devoted to the lost and the lonely and the broken. And as in everything else in this whole world of life and leisure and work-life balance, our values dictate our choices. So let's send ourselves away to pray and think this big, big issue through to God. And let's pray that his kingdom will grow through people just like us. Shall we pray? Let's pray. Father, thank you for all those minutes, all those 525,600 minutes that you've given us every year to spend for you. And Lord, we pray tonight that we'll be able to come and offer you with open hands our lives. Lord, either our madly busy lives or our quiet and lonely lives. Lord, wherever we are, we want to offer our lives 100% to you and say, Lord, show me. Show me where your perfect balance lies. Show me how my life can be spent for you to build your kingdom. Lord, plant this thought in my heart that my time is not just for tithing, it's all yours. And Lord, that my values will dictate the choices I make. Lord, lead us to wise choices, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
We're going to sing the Lord is my shepherd in a minute. But I just want to say, if you